Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Jonathan Brooks's rise. We've got a clarified running back two challengers of the rookie crop, plus a glut of early day three pedigree at the position. I'm Chad Parsons. Welcome to Under the Helmet, continuing series looking at the skill positions, looking at the fallout of the 2024 NFL draft. Can't start anywhere else but Jonathan Brooks. So the discussion was he's going to Dallas, headed to Big D late in the second round. Well, he didn't even get there. Ended up going to Carolina, 10 ahead of where Dallas was selecting. We never will know if he was headed towards Dallas. We do know Dallas since has signed Ezekiel Elliott, and they pretty much faded the position entirely in the NFL draft and ended up drafting and signing only one undrafted free agent of nominal import. So Jonathan Brooks, here is the fascinating part. So he's considered one of the more complete backs in the class. No, this is not an elite class, but it's one where he had a well-rounded profile and didn't run a 40. He's coming back from an ACL. However, really high in terms of max speed testing, in terms of almost 22 miles per hour on field measures by my own account. And so that really does align with someone that's going to run the 4.4s. Every once in a while, we see that dabble into the 4.3s. So don't have a lot of concerns about his athleticism. And so a very complete profile. And all reports are he's going to be ready for training camp and the preseason. So expect him to have a role earlier in the season. And typically what you see with round two wide running backs is they end up having a role, end up having impact starting about mid-season. So year one production, year one lineup consideration with Jonathan Brooks is not out of the question. The more fascinating storyline is, so rising in the draft, going to Carolina higher than expected in round two, yet falling, fading. I mean, what world are we in? We're running back one of the class where you don't have a lot of day two pedigree. You certainly don't have a lot of open depth charts, if you will, where you say, if there's no injury, who is going to emerge as a starter in that capacity? And Chuba Hubbard, let's remember last year, he pretty much took the job from Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders has eroded heavily over the last couple of years, his later time there in Philadelphia, then going over to Carolina. Figure he's going to be highly involved with the contract he was given. Chuba Hubbard just takes his job. And this is the depth chart that people apparently are worried about. Now, but seeing Xavier Leggett with him falling in drafts, no one's really believing in Deontay Johnson. No one's believing in Bryce Young. I guess this is just a complete Carolina fade by the general dynasty population, because Jonathan Brooks right now, an ADP of 112 in Superflex, and that's huge value. I mean, he is still there about half the time at 201. He's still there about 30% of the time at 202. And again, much higher on the UTH board. You can see that at uthdynasty.com. If you sign up to get the draft guide over at patreon.com/UTH, you're going to see all this data aligning with the players in terms of ADP ranges, as well as probabilities they are at certain selections. So really helpful in terms of managing your draft expectations and having a good realistic plan of two or three options that are more likely or less likely available at each draft position as you go through. But Jonathan Brooks, again, I fail to understand, because he got higher pedigree, he got round two pedigree, the only running back in the class, and yet everyone is gravitating towards wide receivers in this class. And not just first rounders, someone like Ladd McConkey is going ahead of Jonathan Brooks in these drafts. And then Brian Thomas, you know, not a very good profile when you look at round one, and he's also going up there. Xavier Worthy, I'm not surprised that he's going ahead of Jonathan Brooks, but just keep in mind that, again, Jonathan Brooks rising in the draft, and yet yet falling in terms of cost, falling in terms of appeal, has been a pretty fascinating development of the running back position coming out of the draft. The next storyline is who can challenge for the clarified running back two role. Jonathan Brooks is really the only one that I think, based on his own recovery timetable, is going to get a lead job at some point this year without an injury needed. So who else of this class that, again, quality intrigue, but not a lot of pedigree. As I mentioned, everyone else was round three and beyond outside of Jonathan Brooks. But I do think there's three running backs that are in a really prime position to be running back twos, if not for week one, shortly thereafter as the season goes along. There's a lot more ambiguity beyond those three. So we have Jonathan Brooks, then we have a tier of three guys, and again, much varying in terms of their cost in rookie drafts. The first one's going to be Trey Benson. This is low-hanging fruit. Trey Benson, the early picks of round three, goes to Arizona. And they have James Conner. And is he going to be there in 2025? That's definitely going to be up in the air. But you look at what's there otherwise. They brought in Michael Carter. We kind of know what Michael Carter is. He's unlikely to be a true injury-away guy that's going to benefit with 15-plus touches in a given week. More of a receiving-centric guy, but really someone that... not saying, you know, peaked in high school would be the phraseology, but someone that peaked a little earlier in their NFL career and they're not really cresting, you know, in year three, year four, or anything of that. It feels like he's been in decline after the first year or two of his career. You got Amari DiMarcado, had some dynasty interest, a stash player in general. And again, he's one that can easily be usurped on that depth chart. So again, I think this is highly accessible for Trey Benson. One thing I would worry about kind of assessing this, it's not a full running back roundup, the long form show I do looking at all 32 depth charts, but for Arizona, I would say this. Trey Benson's receiving profile, there's some positive, some negative, but ultimately he has a less than optimal receiving profile that would say he's probably not going to be a high volume receiving option. And that does give me some pause in terms of what's the ceiling for his usage and utility and being out there on all downs all the time. In a perfect world where we want to see as much upside as possible. So I do think if we just live in a world, okay, week four, James Conner's gone, he's out for a month. What happens? Trey Benson would probably be the leader in carries, but I do think whether it's DiMarcado and more likely probably Michael Carter, that it would be a situation that they would mix in or even be the primary receiving option. So just know that this is a good offense. This is one that's going to bounce back, hopefully, fingers crossed, a healthy Kyler Murray. You have Marvin Harrison Jr. that is a threat to have at least 100 targets, maybe a decent amount more than that, even in year one. That is on the table here. And they also have Trey McBride. So I think this is going to be an offense bouncing back, looking better than they did a year ago when quarterback missing time, they really struggled at wide receiver. And again, I also think behind James Conner, they were not happy with their options. So Trey Benson is one of the easy answers here for who's going to be the clarified running back two sooner rather than later. And the other thing I would say about Trey Benson is, he has the possibility to walk in and be, you know, so show some highlights and maybe even some spot starts in 2024, pending the health of James Conner. He also has the possibility to just, Conner's gone, they supplement the back end, but Trey Benson is the week one starter in 2025. So when you're kind of looking out ahead over the next, say, couple of years, not so much in year one specifically, Trey Benson does have a lot of appeal. Now, again, he's going pretty, I'm not going to say expensive, but he's only two, three, four spots behind Jonathan Brooks. So again, that gap is relatively tight. I'm market neutral on Trey Benson. And again, more bullish and more targeting on Jonathan Brooks. So open to Trey Benson, but I don't expect in my exposure to get a lot of shares. The next one is Blake Corum. Blake Corum got round three pedigree, goes to the Rams. The Rams last year were snake bit. We had Kieran Williams out for part of the season. That happened to be the same time that Ronnie Rivers, their current at the time running back two, was also out. Zach Evans didn't show up. He was a selection that did not work out at all in year one. Basically couldn't rise up the depth chart, didn't look good in the preseason. Not much positives you can say, despite him being a five-star guy. And again, a lot of people wanted to push him up in rookie drafts 12 months ago. That ended up being a mistake, the lack of pedigree. And again, betting on a guy to really turn it around after he faded down the stretch of his collegiate career. they fix that. They bring in Blake Corum. He's one of the most quote unquote pro ready guys of the class. And someone that, again, you do worry that he kind of peaked in college. How athletic is he? Is he going to get all the way back from his injury? He just did not look the same in 2023 as opposed to 2022. So there's some variables there, but he's been a productive back. You worry that he's just good, but not great in any singular area. That would be the concern. However, expect Blake Corum to beat out Ronnie Rivers in relatively short order. We know the Rams are a little funky in terms of, you know, they believe in Kieran Williams. We've seen Ronnie Rivers hold that job more than anyone, even myself liking him. I'm just kind of surprised how much allegiance he has had over the time that he's had with the Rams so far. But Blake Corum should win that job. And I think, you know, the level of competition here, Rivers versus Corum, I think Corum wins that job by week one or closely thereafter. So Corum's going to have an ample opportunity. And it may even turn out, if you recall, Kieran Williams was a pretty big foundational workhorse last year. Despite being subsized, they loved giving him the rock in a high volume capacity. And that led to monster games. He was a top three or four adjusted points per game back last year. So if Blake Corum can get that number two job and just mix in, as we basically didn't see Ronnie Rivers mix in much of all, he had games where he didn't even get a touch. I think that's going to be different with Blake Corum. We're still going to have Kieran Williams the feature back, but I think Blake Corum is going to be one that ends up with a role. And that's going to be a positive sign indicating, hey, this is our number two back. We feel good about him. He's going to be a clarified and auto start player if Kieran Williams misses time. So Blake Corum's going in the later second round of rookie drafts, and that's very applicable. Sometimes, you know, maybe you'll get him close to 212, 301 at best. But he's going, again, I think a palatable price. You do like to get the late second or early third price tag on a running back coming from day two. So I think that's really important.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Finally, of this list, we have Ray Davis. So didn't get the pedigree of Trey Benson or Blake Corum, but look at the Bills depth chart. This was one where thought they were going to sign some veteran of import. They did not. They brought in two rookie running backs because as of the draft, Darrington Evans, former round three pick, really did not work in Tennessee. We saw him get a little bit of time there in Chicago, but this is one where Darrington Evans has really struggled to hold a job, hold a role. And frankly, in the next 12 months, he might be struggling to hold an NFL roster spot. So this was one basically wide open. We didn't know, you know, we had a retirement out of Damian Harris, and we also had Latavius Murray at like 35 years old, moving on from this depth chart. But it's James Cook, and frankly, he needs supplementation. They would like to keep him optimized. He's a sub-sized back and one that they would like to keep explosive and optimized, and probably someone that they want to take on a little bit of the short yardage stuff, some of the power running, and maybe even occasional goal line work when Josh Allen chooses to give up one of those occasional short yardage that he doesn't scoop up for his own fantasy elite production. But Ray Davis, almost 25 years old, and he gets the day three pedigree. But he walks into a spot, again, he's even more likely or at least equal, if not more than Blake Corum, and especially more than Trey Benson, of saying, what are the likelihood that Ray Davis can beat out incumbent or veteran X? And I think Darrington Evans is ripe to be passed over and usurped very quickly here. So Ray Davis, you have to feel really excited about him going into rookie drafts. And the other big part is he's really affordable. We're talking like a mid to late third round pick. And there's a lot of day three running backs, which is going to be my final point in the show. But Ray Davis situationally is one of the favorites. Now, the thing I would ask Is Buffalo weak enough with Darrington Evans, Ray Davis, and Frank Gore to say they're probably going to add a back? Could be a veteran. What if it's, you know, someone like Kareem Hunt? What if, you know, they end up going down a rabbit hole like that, that they're not done? So it's a double-edged sword where you say this is really good news that there's a good opportunity. And it's a weak depth chart. But the flip side of that is going to be if it's so weak, they're looking to supplement. And whoever you think is going to be the winner, the victor, the clarified guy, say the number two, he may be challenged heavily because they actually add to the position. Finally, let's talk about the glut of early day three, round four, round five guys of intrigue for Dynasty. And these are options that you wouldn't be surprised if they won the running back two job for their respective depth charts. They're interesting. However, this is one where, again, I think the of all the guys I'm going to mention are, make sure you don't get too heavily invested in any singular one of them. Just because the pedigree isn't there, just know that in general, they're going to be injury away options. We want to pay third, fourth round, maybe even priority free agents off the waiver wire in your dynasty league for some of these guys. And the key is, how about get a little exposure to a lot of these guys? So don't get pigeonholed if you're in, especially if you're not in 10, 20 dynasty leagues. I would say a lot of times the theme for some folks is what they want to do is just get, you know, one or two of their favorites, where they're like, oh, at 307 in every league, I'm drafting this guy. At 402, I'm drafting this guy every time. And I would say this is the year to mix it around. Some of those names include, and actually, before I start, there's two guys that I want to include that I don't think that they're going to have as easy of a time to get the running back two role with that. And they have pedigree. Jalen Wright, for example, he's from round four. I really like him. But going to Miami, Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert are clearly ahead of him, if healthy. And, you know, he's kind of waiting in line. Now, both of them could get hurt. One of them could get hurt. But just, I don't think he's challenging either one of them when everybody's healthy in 2024. The other one's Marshawn Lloyd. I think that's more up in the air. You certainly look, I highlighted Ray Davis just because, again, Marshawn Lloyd versus A.J. Dillon. Dillon's a pro. He has second round pedigree. And yes, he kind of limped back to Green Bay on a really cheap 1 year deal. So Marshawn Lloyd should surpass him. But I do think that's a competitive point entering the rookie season. So again, the names I'm going to mention now, day three guys that just know the odds are not great. We're not dealing with a lot of elite profiles and a variety of costs. So if you sit there at 307 or 402 as examples, in one league, two or three of these guys might be gone. In one league, they all might be there to some degree. You might have a lot of options at certain spots. You might have just one or two remaining at 410. So the thing I want to highlight is mix and match. If you've got, say, 10 to 15 total picks, say mid-third to late fourth round, make sure you get exposure to four, five, six of these guys, because you're bound to hit on one or two where the situation turns in their favor. And then some of them may turn out to be waiver wire fodder by the time we get to September. So some of the more intriguing names, as I mentioned, that you want some exposure. And now that may not be possible, obviously, if you're only in two, three, four leagues. But when you get to 10 or more, I do think you're going to have plenty of third, fourth round picks to mix up some of your ownership and exposure rates. So some of these more interesting options, and again, all these guys are typically third, fourth. We have Braylon Allen there with the Jets. So Israel Abanikanda, they actually superseded him, Braylon Allen, more draft pedigree than Israel Abanikanda a year ago. Now, I do like Isaiah Davis, who also went there later on day three, but Braylon Allen would be considered the favorite here to back up Breece Hall if he can beat out Abanikanda. But again, this is not a clarified situation. I do want a little bit of ownership of Braylon Allen. Will Shipley, he goes to the Eagles. He has one of the more complete profiles of all the names I'm going to mention. And it's Kenneth Gainwell versus Will Shipley. That's a battle behind Saquon Barkley. It's not declarative. I would expect over time Will Shipley to win that. It may not be till 2025. And there's some moving pieces here. So again, even though I like all these options, you'll hear that it's pretty ambiguous just in terms of what could happen in a best and worst case. Also, we have Rasheen Ali. He goes to Baltimore on the later side of day three, but really intriguing. Keaton Mitchell coming back from injury, Justice Hill, subsized. Rasheen Ali himself did not participate in part of this offseason because of an injury. So he's one that really good situation. We like that behind Derrick Henry, but it's pretty ambiguous right now. He could end up being the healthiest and most dynamic and you know, most prototypical option behind Derrick Henry, but he could also just mire and be the running back four. Wide range there. Kamani Vidal there with the Chargers. Isaiah Spiller has not impressed. Vidal has a nice profile out of day three. They have J.K. Dobbins as a wild card player. It's pretty ambiguous. Running back two through four, I wouldn't be surprised by any ordering when we get to September. But Vidal, very intriguing. And obviously that situation behind Gus Edwards is one for upside. Bucky Irving, he goes to Tampa Bay. I think he's a younger and better version of Chase Edmonds at this point in Edmonds' career. Sean Tucker, he's a wild card. We really haven't seen much from him, but a lot of people still are holding on to the priors and liking him despite going undrafted a year ago. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if Chase Edmonds holds that job for a while. I also wouldn't be surprised if Bucky Irving is, by October, the running back two there. Audric Estime, he goes to Denver. This one's pretty ambiguous. They like Julio McLaughlin more than I do. You got Samaje Perine, an older pro. Devontae Williams, he really needs to get a little bit of his third gear and fourth gear burst back. He's not a dynamic option, but as a power back, he needs to get closer to form, and we just really haven't seen that after his injuries. But Estime, again, another power back in this offense that's probably going to run a decent amount. And again, I think this is one that could go a variety of directions, and it also break pretty wide open for Estime by 2025. The final one I'll mention is the Giants. So we got Tyrone Tracy, positional convert, but dynamic option, good tester. And you just see kind of the Zuzu and the it factor from him. Eric Gray, he could be sneaky from the veteran variety. He really hasn't got much playing time. And this is all behind Devin Singletary. I do think it comes down to Eric Gray versus Tyrone Tracy. And again, Tracy is one that just has not played at the position that much. He does have receiving upside, a la someone like Antonio Gibson. And so Tracy, a wild card. So I just mentioned a bunch of guys that, again, I'd like to have shares of all of them. Now, you're not going to have enough picks in any singular league or two or three of them. So just know that if one guy goes and you're like, oh, I really wanted to get, you know, Bucky Irving there, just wait, and your pick comes up and you pick Will Shipley or you pick Braylon Allen or you pick Audric Estime or Tyrone Tracy, just move to the next guy. Would be one of my biggest recommendations in this class. A lot of day three options as the third big point and takeaway from the running back position. And you just want to have some poker chips on the table to play with your bench spots. So that's going to do it. Reviewing the running back situation here. I'm Chad Parsons. Got some great guests lined up over the next couple of weeks, talking rookie draft, talking after effects of the NFL draft. So really excited about a few of the guests that I have lined up and in the queue for some of these feature show and interviews on the NFL side, the Dynasty side, and blending all that together for a good roadmap for us to go through the summer months with the new reality of Dynasty and NFL team building. I'm Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.